Radio Art Catalyst. Sonic inquiries into art and research.
You're listening to a Radio Arts Catalyst audio production. Radio Arts Catalyst is a virtual space for collective conversations, creative expression, and alternative ways of organising. Through the radio, we're embarking on a journey into what radical spaces for individual and collective voices might look like today, and the potential of broadcasting as an ecology of overlapping spaces for listening, mapping, and transmitting. If you like this broadcast, then please consider leaving us a rating or a comment on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
My name is Hannah Rowan, and I am a multidisciplinary artist based in London. My work often explores the connections between bodies of water, vessels, and the animacy of matter. To think about fragility, scale, transience, and loss in relation to wider ecological and geological systems. I'm interested in using submerged and embodied methods of research to explore the slippery complexities of water through a hydrofeminist lens and to reflect on what it means to be intimately connected as bodies of water. I was artist in residence at Taipei Artist Village from January to March 2021. In collaboration with Arts Catalyst and Platform Asia. I began undertaking research into the mutualistic relationship between plants and butterflies, alongside aquatic research around saturation and the marginal ecosystem of mangroves. For this episode of Radio Arts Catalyst, I will take you through a multi-layered sonic landscape across ocean tides, butterfly migrations, and touch. What you will hear is a mixture of field recordings, underwater hydrophone recordings, and narrations from my journal entries. I have layered sounds recorded from various locations across Taiwan, from the Dam Shui River to Purple Butterfly Valley. Almost a year on, as I recount my experience, sitting at the kitchen table of where I am temporarily based in Brooklyn, you may occasionally hear the flight path of planes and the faint drones of traffic and sirens. There is no sequential start or end to this piece, as my narration often mediates on fragments of aquatic encounters in Taiwan. This piece nears its close around a campfire in Yilan, and the collective singing you hear are the voices of the Amei tribe. Now I invite you to return to these sonorous encounters and close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and perhaps begin to imagine yourself in a warm, moist forest, surrounded by damp earth and large leaves of plants, and feel the touch of heavy raindrops upon your skin. Mangroves, where the land meets the sea. I'm in Dam Shui district, tracing the Dam Shui river upstream at the edges of Taipei towards the sea. During low tide, we look for river glass, flecked between the stones and trash on the river banks. Collect small fragments of broken glass, once sharp and shiny shards eroded smooth and matte by the ebb and flow of the tides. As we neared the city limits, sounds of passing traffic come and go like the tides. Mangroves replace infrastructure, and we reach the mangrove reserve, an area designated to allow the mangroves to return and flourish along the riverbanks. Lush and green with slender exposed roots and waxy leaves, the mangroves provide a natural flood barrier, and they inhabit the threshold between the land and the water. Mangroves provide a marginal ecosystem between saltwater and freshwater. Living along shores, rivers and estuaries in the tropics and subtropics, in water up to 100 times saltier than most other plants can tolerate. They thrive despite the twice daily flooding of ocean tides. chrysalis. A Magellan birdwing chrysalis hangs by two dark threads from a thin branch. The chrysalis resembles a dried dead leaf. The colour a sandy yellowish brown, with thin contours of dark brown lines, like the veins of a leaf. The chrysalis hangs at a dissolving threshold between the fluid and the crystal. A living soup of metabolism, metamorphosis, and mutualism. The chrysalis demonstrates a symbiotic system of care and reciprocity with plants, and often comes to signify hope of transformation, emergence, and healing. These words by Rebecca Solnit about hope and change have further anchored my thinking on the chrysalis. Quote, "There is another analogy that comes to mind. When a caterpillar enters its chrysalis, it dissolves itself quite literally into liquid. In this state, what was caterpillar and what will be butterfly is neither one nor the other. It is a sort of living soup. Within this soup are the imaginal cells that will catalyze its transformation into winged maturity. May the best among us, the most visionary, the most inclusive, be the imaginal cells. For now, we are in the soup. The outcome of disasters is not foreordained. It is a conflict, one that takes place while things that were frozen solid and locked up have become open and fluid, full of both the best and the worst possibilities. We are both becalmed and in a state of profound change." End quote. Carrier bag. A carrier bag, a vessel, a chrysalis. Systems of care, healing, reciprocity, and mutual flourishing.
clear plastic bag hangs from the branch of a tree. Inside the bag are green leaves and twigs that resemble those of the surrounding trees. Within the bag, a feeding caterpillar is just about visible. The bag sways in the wind, and droplets of condensation gather on the inside of the carrier bag. I'm in Uncle Noel's garden. He lives on the outskirts of New Taipei City, where he welcomes visitors to spend time in his garden and learn about the butterfly of Taiwan. The dirt path to his house is just off a busy main road. The sounds of traffic drain away as butterflies increasingly fly through the air. Each butterfly species is often in symbiosis with a specific plant from which they feed, lay their eggs, and in turn pollinate the plant to have flowering and fruiting bodies. Uncle Noel grows and cares for an abundance of host plants for diverse butterfly species. Some butterfly live out their entire lives in the garden, he says, while others often pass through on a much longer journey. I visited his garden several times to observe the changes in chrysalis as winter turns to spring. That year, Uncle Noel noticed that there were less chrysalis on the trees. He has created this protective cocoon from a plastic bag for this feeding caterpillar, in the hope that they will make their journey into becoming a butterfly. The carrier bag becomes a vessel for a cocoon biosphere that hangs from the branch in a way that reminds me of a chrysalis.
I began to think of Ursula K. Le Guin's carrier bag theory of fiction that redefined technology as a cultural carrier, a vessel rather than a weapon of domination. And Donna Haraway's Camille stories that imagined humans as participants in symbiotic relationships.
The butterfly live in symbiosis with their host plants. They lay their eggs and feed on the plants whilst pollinating the plants in the process. A mutually beneficial relationship for both participants. Taiwan has often been referred to as the kingdom of butterflies. These highly delicate insects, once plentiful in Taiwan, are now decreasing in species and population due to the trade and collection that turned butterflies into frozen and decorative items. More recently, they are threatened by extreme weather, pollutants, and industrial agriculture. The growing of gardens has become an act of resistance against the disappearance of butterflies. This gesture of growing native plants of a region that can attract and host and feed pollinators such as butterflies and bees. I observe how these gestures of care enable the continued survival and flourishing of butterflies, plants, people, and an entire ecosystem of critters. Multi-species touching. I open the palm of my hand. I'm holding a resting purple crow butterfly. My hand is held by another person's hand. And in the overcast light, the butterfly's wings are a chocolate brown colour with small lilac specks. These are tender touches between hands and wings. 3, 1, 9 is written in black ink on the butterfly's wing. I'm in the mountain valley of Maolin, the ongoing ancestral homelands of the Rukai peoples. This is the place of the purple flight,
when purple crow butterflies gather every winter to rest in the warm mountain valleys.
By February and March, the butterflies have become more active before they individually migrate back to northern Taiwan to breed. This happens every year in Taiwan. And along with the monarch butterfly in Mexico, we're part of the same milkweed butterfly family, and perhaps the only butterflies on Earth known to undertake this long migration and mass resting.
I met with the Purple Crow Conservation Society working in Maolin. Volunteers who are tracking the butterflies as they migrate from south back to northern Taiwan to understand more about their lifespans, intergenerational knowledge, and subtle migration patterns.
I observe how intimate they are with the butterflies, gently handling their delicate wings to mark the date and location, without harming their scales, and drawing my attention to the intricacies of the butterfly wing patterns, markings and scent.
Six species
in Taiwan.
But the name is all the same. Blue tiger.
Blue tiger.
Yeah, blue tiger.
Not all the butterflies are marked, but by doing so to this portion, they can better understand their age and how accelerating forces of climate change and industrialization will affect their migration routes. So much is still unknown about the amazing endurance and intergenerational knowledge of these tiny, fragile, yet resilient creatures.
On my journey back north to Taipei, I visit Taloka National Park. I encounter purple butterflies clinging to the branches of milkweed against the backdrop of cascading waterfalls and steaming sulfuric ponds. Transitory vessels. For some brief moment, I twice experienced the Earth's lithic deep time within the fleshy tissue of my body. Awoken from sleep by the sway of the ground beneath my horizontal body, disorientating feeling, terrestrial estrangement, the sway of a ship at sea, I am ungrounded upon the land. A river is a flowing vessel. An oyster shell is a porous carrier. The mangrove root is a transmitter between the land and the sea. Aqueous lungs, tentacular vessels sucking up and filtering sweet water from salt. Channels, submerged arteries anchored beneath the surface membrane of the river. River water is murky, carrying information by way of sediments, not the clear, highly filtered water that flows from a faucet of a drinking fountain. Steam rises from the street vendors at the night markets, and I eat shaved ice. The pavements in Taipei shimmer with the stars of silica. Silica is the primary material that makes sand, and thus glass. Silica, coming from quartz, the most abundant material on the Earth's crust. The undulating surfaces of the Earth's crust are veneered with silica tiles. The river flows and transmits. Water is a medium, a carrier of sediments of information. A flowing archive of past and becoming. Ancient yet renewing. Time passing and returning.
Yeah.